Alice is just so chillingly important. I mean, literally, I get the chills thinking about certain folk not being available for us if they had not existed. It's almost terrifying for me to think about when I encounter one of these brave souls that we, in this moment, literally cannot do without. Shakespeare, who helps us understand that the problem is class, it is power. Peter Kropotkin, and I include Peter despite his use of such words as civilized and savages, reproducing the very mindset he's trying to smash in his abolishment of the distinction between mind and hand. And it's not fair to say that he was a product of his day, though obviously so. Others of his day were fortunate to not be misled in that respect, only that he was himself a product of class and of the geographic segregation and systematic atomization that made a truly global vantage difficult to attain. Kropotkin, whose voracious and fertile mind captured all the rich conditions which furthered the planting of decentralization, what in waking up I thought of as distributed generation. I think the two ideas are just different ways of saying the same thing, or perfectly complement if there's any slight difference. Allowing us, his work, to finally pursue happiness as a people, because we cannot pursue happiness as a people without the land, our conditions of existence. Karl Popper, so critical on so many levels. Miklos Nesley, ditto. But let me add, he shows in Power's MO their desperate need to keep their killing secret, and a reminder that there are physical traces of these things, where these weapons they're using. Iron in bodily fluids, swelling throughout the body, for example, that we need to document. I mean, that's one thing that stood out for me clearly in reading Miklos Nesley's Auschwitz, was his very careful documentation of their killing methods. And now I get it. Very literally. Martin Luther King, who demonstrated the power of public voicing in or along with the global frame. He took the word to the pulpit and the streets globally. And Terence K. Hopkins, to represent for our good three, who did attain and push forward unrelentingly that truly global vantage that we need to get free. Martin Bernal, his Black Athena, that exposes the facts behind the invented so-called classical heritage that the would-be gods use to convince their children they harbor some historic mission. In a sense, this book is the link between Karl Popper and Alice Miller. I recall one of my early questions as I started writing Waking Up. What difference does a book make? Now I understand the question better, thanks to Alice and Carl with his exegesis of Plato, who first pulled, and I'm saying first, but you know, when we're talking about thousands of years ago, you know, we probably need to credit some other folk too, but who first pulled Power's coat to this? It was probably some ancient Egyptian somewhere, since unfortunately, the philosophy of class, of rule. I mean, it seems very much the case that it started there, you know. Anyway, who first pulled Power's coat to this, along with his uncle Critias. And Socrates knew this, by the way. I keep forgetting to bring this lovely, well, it's pretty short, quote, a story about Socrates that I found in this book on mythology, which says that he didn't buy the gods thing. But some other time, since I don't have the quote. That the thoughts we think are everything. We are indeed creatures of illusion, as Virginia Woolf said so succinctly. The entire class system is like one big exhibit of the Stockholm Syndrome, in which coercion and abuse made systematic, and identification with the master and the sacrifice of our children are so normalized they don't exist as far as being noticed in speech goes. We live in insanity as if it's not, but this myopia comes at a tremendous cost.